Hello, this is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Baltimore on Q1370 WQLL. Catholic Baltimore is a weekly radio program hosted by the Archdiocese of Baltimore, airing each Sunday following the broadcast of the Radio Mass of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic radio partners for sharing with us some of the contents in this program and for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to the Archdiocese of Baltimore every Sunday.
Good morning. We're here with Archbishop William Laurie, who is the Archbishop of Baltimore and who just released a book called The Joy of Believing, A Practical Guide to the Catholic Faith. Thanks for being here this morning. So where did the concept of this book come from?
Well, of course, I serve as the Supreme Chaplain for the Knights of Columbus. And some years ago, I met with a group of state chaplains of the Knights of Columbus. And we were talking about what we could do to provide an easy tool for Knights of Columbus members to come to know their faith more deeply. And the idea was suggested to me that I would do a series of articles every month in Columbia Magazine on the faith. And the compendium of the Catechism of the Catholic Church had just come out. So I thought, well, why not do a compendium of the compendium and to do like a grouping of articles in the compendium, but sort of do it in a user-friendly kind of an article that could be easily read and prepared for a council meeting, and maybe the chaplain could use it as the basis for his message.
And did the Knights respond well to that?
They did, and once I finished with this, I thought to myself, well, you know, you've taken this journey through the whole of the Catholic faith, I wonder if it would make a useful resource for others.
So this makes it, what you've done is you've taken the compendium of the Catechism and made it into bite-sized, kind of digestible bits that people can read very quickly?
Yes, in other words, you can read one of the chapters, and you've covered a considerable amount of ground in the compendium. But hopefully in a way that's conversational and in a way that is meant to prompt reflection. The idea was you could read it on your own if you want, or you could read it in a group and have group discussions.
So is that why there's the reflection questions at the end of each chapter, to help people kind of prompt their thinking a little bit more about what they've just read?
The reflection questions are meant to go to the very purpose of the book, which is to deepen our faith. And so we don't just accept the faith as a series of abstract truths that we say are true but kind of unconnected from our lives. The joy comes when we apply the faith to our lives, when it makes a critical difference in how we live. The joy comes when the light comes on and we say, this is what the church is teaching me. This is what the Lord wants me to know. This is how the Lord wants me to live. When we see that, that's when we say, isn't God good? And isn't it a joy and a privilege to share God's life through the Catholic faith?
You had some really good points in there about that I enjoyed reading, especially about the Trinity and a way to try to explain that in this grand mystery in a very simple way, but even also the incarnation and the perpetual virginity of Mary, that are things that I think are hard for non-Catholics to understand, but even hard for Catholics to understand. What goes into to bringing that forward so that people can understand it in a way that breaks the word open for them and helps their hearts come on fire?
Yeah, you know, I'm like any other priest or pastor of souls that's been at it for a while. When you first come out of the seminary, the temptation is to give everybody the full Monty, complete with all the theological jargon, and you see all the eyes glaze over and the heads nod, and you realize that while there is a time and a place for that, and it's very important that the church's faith be expressed at a very high level, nonetheless, the job of a pastor is to be able to build a bridge, to build a bridge for, that goes from people's ordinary experience and ways of thinking and language to the deep and beautiful truths of the gospel and of the church's teaching. And I think that's what you try to do every Sunday when you preach. That's what I tried to do in this book. And when I'd finish an article, I'd let it sit in my desk drawer a couple of days, and I'd go back over and say, you know, this paragraph, maybe not even God knows what it means. And then I'd go back and rewrite it. Did I succeed in all points in the book? Probably not, but it was a sincere attempt to build a bridge.
You write in a lot of, in several places in there, about the need for humans to find the reason we're here and why we exist. Why do we need faith in God to understand that? And why can't atheism provide an answer to that?
We are made for love. We are made not just for temporary, fleeting love. We are not made just for the kind of love that is self-interested. We want to be loved infinitely, and human experience confirms this time after time. We are all seekers. We sometimes speak of a generation of seekers. Well, I speak of generations of seekers, because it's hardwired into our spiritual DNA to want to be loved infinitely. And the only place we find this is when, in the power of the Holy Spirit, the grace of our very good God, we are given the gift of faith, we believe. Really, this whole book is about a love story, about a God who loves the world and the human community, and the church, and each one of us infinitely. It's all about getting caught up into that. Anything else stops short of infinite love. It stops, it might have some very good things in it. It might be very good and very noble, but it doesn't ultimately provide the answer for which every human life is the question.
And Pope Benedict wrote a lot about that in his encyclical about on love, and about the different kinds of love, and that most infinite love that you're talking about there, right?
To be sure, when I was writing these articles, Pope Benedict's encyclical, Deus Caritas Est, God is Love, came out. And in my mind, that remains such a beautiful, consoling, illuminating encyclical. And then I think Pope Francis came along with the joy of the gospel. And I think it's the perfect pastoral complement to Deus Caritas Est. On the one hand, Pope Benedict gives us this beautiful meditation on really who God is and what this means in the life of the church. Pope Francis sort of packages this up and talks about practically what it means to go out as missionary disciples and to proclaim this, and both have had a profound influence on my attempts.
What do you see as the greatest mystery in our Catholic faith? Is it the Trinity? Is it that Jesus is truly present in the Eucharist? Is it something else?
I think the greatest mystery of our faith is God Himself. It's the inner life of God. It is God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It is that God so loved the world. It is that we would be caught up in this love. So when we talk about our faith, we're just not talking about a bunch of disconnected truths that are really hard to understand. We're not talking about riddles, puzzles, or the occult. What we are talking about is the hidden life of God that is this light and accessible, that has been made accessible because God so loved the world, revealed himself in history, most fully in his Son, Jesus Christ. And in revealing himself to us, revealed ourselves to ourselves, showing us our great dignity and our destiny to share that friendship. And that shapes everything. Boy, once you really believe that, once you have fallen in love with this mystery of the God who is love, just changes everything in your life.
As we're going into finishing up Lent and going into Holy Week, and we see all that sadness that comes about as in the Passion and the Crucifixion, how does the joy come from that?
Well, you know, it's not for nothing we speak of Good Friday, because really what is being revealed, especially in Holy Week, is God's self-giving love. It's the Lord Jesus who gave himself to us in the Eucharist in anticipation of giving himself to us and to the Father on the cross. It's the revelation of a love that for sure exposes our sins for what they are, but then applies to our sins and the sins of all the world a love that is stronger than sin and more powerful than death. And so even as we mourn our sins, even as we feel sadness over the price of our salvation, nonetheless, what should overtake us in Holy Week is joy, gratitude, thanksgiving. And even when we are contrite for our sins, as always we must be, at the end of the day, it's always the horizon of hope. We're always able to be contrite because we know that God is loving, merciful, and that his love and mercy not only makes us feel better, it actually conquers our sins. Wow, what a gift. God has given himself to us. And we get to share in his death to sin, so that we might be free and joyful and begin even now to share in his risen life.
What do you hope that readers take away from The Joy of Believing?
What I would hope is that this would be simply a help. It's simply an aid so that people can just open their hearts to the Lord, to the faith of the church. If a person is seeking to deepen their faith a little bit, I hope this will be a good tool to do this. If someone has questions, maybe this will be at least the beginning of searching for answers. And I also hope that if someone is alienated or disconnected or disappointed in the church, or simply has found that his or her faith has been a little bit overwhelmed by the cares of daily life, I hope this will be maybe a moment to say, let's take another look in a way that is accessible. That's what I hope.
We've been talking with Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore about his new book, The Joy of Believing, A Practical Guide to the Catholic Faith. This is Christopher Gunty of Catholic Review Media.
Two Archdiocese of Baltimore teachers were among 10 receiving special recognition from the Johns Hopkins Center for Talented Youth. Nominated by their own students, Mark Sawisa of the School of the Cathedral of Mary Our Queen in Homeland and Ryan Kleitzer of Our Lady of Mount Carmel Elementary School and Children's Center in Essex were cited for challenging and motivating the students in their classes. The future of humanity depends on safeguarding and sharing drinkable water, said Pope Francis on World Water Day, which was celebrated March 22nd. In his remarks to visitors gathered in St. Peter's Square, the Pope encouraged the international community to make sure everyone has access to potable water and that no one is excluded or discriminated against. The number of Catholic marriages in the United States is at its lowest point since 1965, but not everyone sees a dire future. Research associate Mark Gray of Georgetown University says that there is no definitive answer for this trend, saying that an increase in cohabitation as well as a cultural change towards seeing the church as not very important may contribute. However, Gray also sees positive signs for the future, including what he calls a cultural shift in millennial Catholics, whom he says are becoming more interested in being married in the church. Young adults and high school-aged youth from across the Archdiocese will attend the Youth and Young Adult Pilgrimage on Saturday, March 28th. Carrying palms and a cross, pilgrims will visit the Basilica of the Assumption, the War Memorial Plaza, and St. Casimir Church. They will pray the rosary and listen to a concert by Catholic musician John Angotti. Finally, priests and consecrated religious in Naples experienced a miracle last week when the blood of St. Januarius, the city's patron saint, liquefied during a visit by Pope Francis. This is Karen Osborne reporting from the Catholic Review.
The Archdiocese of Baltimore invites area Catholics to celebrate the Sacrament of Reconciliation this Lent. Priests will be hearing confessions at Catholic churches throughout the Archdiocese from 3 to 8 p.m. on Friday, March 27th. Sin can damage our relationships with God and with each other. Reconciliation is the gift that Christ gave His church to bring us the healing grace of God's forgiveness. God loves us just the way we are, but He loves us too much to leave us that way. Experience God's mercy by receiving the Sacrament of Reconciliation this Lent. Contact a Catholic church near you for more information, or visit archbalt.org for a list of churches and confession times. And remember, the light is on for you.
The light is on.
You are listening to Catholic Baltimore on Q1370 WQLL.
This is Sean Kane, and welcome back to Catholic Baltimore. We're here today with Father Patrick Carrion, who's the pastor of the Catholic community of South Baltimore. Father Carrion, thanks for being with us.
You're welcome, Sean. Glad to be here.
So let's start with a simple question. What is Lent?
Well, Lent is one of our liturgical seasons of the year, just Advent, Christmas being a liturgical season, Lent, Easter season. That is a period of time, 40-day period, really asked to delve into a lot of reflection, quiet, awareness of God in your life, caring for doing some disciplines or different activities in order to enter into that in a little different way or a more acute way than you would during any of the other seasons of the year. The 40 days from Ash Wednesday to Easter Sunday is that focused time. And it's asking like all Christians, and for us Catholic Christians, you know, to do it together. That whole sense of when you're doing something that's difficult with somebody, it does make it a little easier. So we all are not eating meat on Friday, or we're all doing a particular practice.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of us walked away on Ash Wednesday with ashes on our foreheads, and
right.
Whether our friends are Catholic or not, invariably we're asked, you know, what exactly does that represent or mean?
Yeah. Well, it is reminding, as one of the statements that is often made as the ashes is put on there, is remember that you are dust, and unto dust you shall return. Whole sense that we are very finite people. We come from God, He created us, and we're going back to God. So that's whole sense of Ash Wednesday, dust, Easter Sunday, resurrection, coming from God, going back to God. And that particular, the ash is going to remind us of that sense of humility, our finiteness, and that we need to rely solely on God who created us.
Right. So one of the Catholics like to, many Catholics like to give something up for Lent. It's, I guess, a part of our self-discipline practice. So why do we do this, and what does it mean for us?
I think the giving up thing, whether it's as the, you know, someone decides to give up chocolate or they give up their coffee, morning coffee, it's certainly not a hardship. It's kind of a constant reminder when you might wake up that day and you're like, oh, I would love to have that cup of coffee, or at night, love to have that dessert. It's like, well, I'm not going to have it, or I have this discipline to remind me I need to be a little bit different today, have a little bit heightened awareness. Maybe you're giving up some particular food to be in solidarity with those who are always hungry. Our fast days of Ash Wednesday and Good Friday, where you're supposed to eat minimal meals, nothing in between meals, you know, to remind ourselves, well, we may be hungry for this 2 hours because we're not taking a snack. There's some people who are hungry all day.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, you don't have to necessarily give something up. You may decide you want to do an act of kindness or work on some other part of, right, you know, your life.
Right. The three disciplines of Lent are prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. So the fasting could be giving up the candy. Other things could be almsgiving, saying, well, since I'm not going to the store to get that cup of coffee, I'll give that particular money to a charitable organization. You can always just throw it in the church's poor box as you walk out of Mass, or make a donation to your favorite charity. Or even in prayer, you know, sometimes people say, well, I'm going to up the ante a little bit at some of my prayer practices. Typically, we see more attendance at Mass in the Lenten season on Sundays. You see people coming more during the week. Maybe if they work downtown, go to a church that has, you know, a noontime Mass, or they get up early or go to work a little late if they're going to their local parish, or they'll go to Stations of the Cross on Friday nights. So they'll kind of do those different prayer practices a little bit more intentionally. Be mindful of the poor through some almsgiving, a traditional word for it, giving to charity, as well as just giving up something.
Mm-hmm. And we are more intentional about our prayer lives during Lent, and that really is to help us get closer to God, isn't mm-hmm. it?
Correct, right.
And that relationship with Christ is really, developing that as a big part of our Lenten mm-hmm. journey. Mm-hmm. And we can be careful, though, not to try and overdo it in Lent, to try to do too much, you know, jam in those 40 days, you know, maybe what might otherwise take us many months or a lifetime. Exactly. So what advice do you have for people who are want or prone to try and do that?
Well, I think first they should be good to themselves. Yeah, I do think people often say, I'm going to give all this stuff up for Lent. And then they get into the third week of the 40 days and they're like exhausted, and then they feel guilty. Oh my God, I said I was going to do this, I didn't do it. It certainly isn't supposed to be a season where we just add to the guilt. We usually do that well enough on our own. It's really a time to kind of be grace-filled and just start up again and use the time the best you can, and maybe sometimes be good to yourself. We even have those some traditions and cultures have little special days in Lent, like when you get to like St. Joseph's Day, it's like, well, that's a solemnity, a nice day. We shouldn't have to do our prayer practice. It gives a little like reprieve mm-hmm. and maybe get in touch a little bit of that. Okay, God's still a fun God, a good God, and enter the relationship that way and allows us, I think, to be attentive longer when we're not seeing it just as a drudgery, but just as a journey.
So Lent doesn't have to be a time of misery for us, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
I grew up where Sundays never counted. That's so we, you know, we would all wait for Sunday. If we gave up, you know, candy, it's like Sunday we could have it. So that's not in all traditions.
No, that's a debate in my house. So, you know, what is, you know, is there the official word on Sundays?
I'm not sure that I can give you the official word, but I would say God is good. So I think we should give ourselves a break every day.
Yeah, amen to that. Father Patrick Carrion, the pastor of Catholic Community of South Baltimore, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Sean.
The season of sacraments is nearly here. First Holy Communion, Confirmation, and weddings. Visit the Baltimore Basilica, America's first cathedral, and stop by the gift shop for all of your gift needs. From beautiful frames to crucifixes and crosses, statues, and one-of-a-kind rosaries, the Basilica gift shop has it all. Friendly, knowledgeable staff members can help you select the perfect gift. Also available, Baltimore's very own Mouth Party Caramels, locally designed hand-painted signs, and jewelry, plus gifts for Easter, as well as an extensive line of St. Patrick's Day items, sure to bring out the Irish in everyone. Visit the Basilica Gift Shop at 409 Cathedral Street in Baltimore, or call 410-727-3565 for hours and directions. Free street parking available directly in front of the Basilica between 9:30 and 4 p.m.
For over 200 years, the Archdiocese of Baltimore's Catholic schools have welcomed families of all faiths, providing generations of students with an academically excellent, value-based education taught in a Christ-centered environment. With a 99% graduation rate, the highest in the nation, and a 98% college attendance rate, Catholic school graduates are better prepared to succeed in college and beyond. But Catholic schools offer more than an education. They offer tradition, family, faith, and the opportunity for students to grow as individuals and as future leaders in their community. Discover these and other benefits of a Catholic school and learn more about why Catholic schools are an unparalleled value in education in the Baltimore region. Call 1-800-5-CATHOLIC or visit www.archbalt.org. Catholic schools, a place to grow.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Baltimore. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May God bless us and keep us always in his love.